Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This is a surprising statistic. It's almost cruel irony. Someone in the U.S. develops Alzheimer's every 65 seconds. It's the fifth leading cause of death among Americans over 65. And it's more than 6.9 million Americans, 65 plus, are living with Alzheimer's. We're going to tackle this issue today. It's a health challenge, and I think we have to approach it as a health challenge. Well, that's what our guests are here for, because they're going to highlight there's actually some behavioral things, some health things that we can do that will reduce our risk of Alzheimer's. We're going to talk all about that today. Let's learn about it. Alzheimer's and dementia on Voices of Montana. 6 million plus Americans living with Alzheimer's. And I think it probably the impact touches every one of us, right? Do you have a family member who, whether it's diagnosed or not, you may have some suspicions about it too. We're going to cover that. What dementia is, what Alzheimer's is, and what it isn't, but also highlight, well, one critical need is for Montana's voices to get in to this Alzheimer's research. I was surprised as looking at some of the statistics regarding how many studies are going on, and Montana may not be a part of those. So we'll talk about that. But a recent conference it highlighted some things, some behavioral things that we can do to reduce our risk of Alzheimer's and dementia. So, yeah, it's time to learn about this. And let's welcome our guest today. It is Melanie Williams, Executive Director of the Alzheimer's Association, Montana Chapter, ALZ.org. Melanie, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Love chatting with Melanie earlier this week. She is so excited. And she got me really excited to hear what Dr. Tiffany Hensley McBain will have to say today. And Dr. Hensley McBain is a director of the Wiseman Hood Institute, which is formerly known as the McLaughlin Research Institute, based in Great Falls. And good morning, Tiffany. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I am very excited to be here. This is my favorite thing to talk about. So,
and you know what? As I'm looking at this, there's interesting statistics. Was not really cognitive of. I'm aware that Alzheimer's and dementia is having a more of an impact, it seems like, on our lives personally and in our healthcare field. But there's a lot that I didn't know. I suppose I'm just a regular, normal person out there, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about Alzheimer's disease, about what it is, about how that compares to normal aging. And you know, it's really important for Montana and for Montanans to talk about this because Montana has an aging population. We are actually ranked sixth in the nation for our population over the age of 65. We're actually the oldest state west of the Mississippi. And more of our loved ones are going to get diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease.
Melanie, I'm going to have you kind of peel in on that. Now, you spent 30 years in the teaching field before joining the Alzheimer's Association in 2021. You know, what's your perception of how much people know, and especially how much of the new stuff do we know?
Yeah, shockingly, even if we've had family members living with it, it's amazing how little we know once we're faced with it and have to look it head on. That's where I was when I was finishing my teaching career with my mom and had no idea what was happening because she presented so well, but other things were starting to fall apart that just didn't make sense. And I think we've learned or been conditioned to live with this idea of, well, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see if it's stress or let's wait and see if it's sleep patterns. But I was talking with somebody recently and I said, would we ever do that with our car? Would we take our car into the mechanic when it's not working right and accept a mechanic saying, well, let's just wait and see if it resolves itself. And I don't think any of us would, because in Montana, we rely on our cars for everything. So really changing that narrative that when it comes to our brain, why are we willing to accept that, well, let's wait and see, when we know there's so much out there, so much new information and research, such as what Tiffany's doing, that we could start acting on today or learning more about today instead of just this, well, let's wait and see if it gets better on its own.
Melanie Williams again, the Alzheimer's Association Montana's chapter, and Dr. Tiffany Hensley McBain with us here, director of the Wiseman Hood Institute. Again, that's formerly known as the McLaughlin Research Institute. More information there, McLaughlinResearch.org. So, Tiffany, start the download. What isn't Alzheimer's dementia?
Sure, yeah. So, you know, a lot of people think that if they get diagnosed with dementia, they're getting diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And what we need to clarify is that dementia is a set of symptoms. So that would include a decline in memory, reasoning, or some other thinking skills. But Alzheimer's disease is a very specific cause of dementia. So Alzheimer's disease refers to the actual changes that happen in the brain that leads to dementia. And Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia. It accounts for 60 to 80%. But it's an important distinction for a few reasons. And, you know, Melanie just touched on it. There are some causes of dementia that are treatable, you know, urinary tract infections, vitamin deficiencies. I talk to neurologists all the time that they're like, wait, we got to do this whole workup over here to see if there are other causes of dementia. And then from there, following the progression, because Alzheimer's disease specifically is a degenerative brain disease. So it occurs with a decline that happens over time. So, you know, Alzheimer's disease is, so it's diagnosed by what's happening in the brain. And so there's very specific diagnostic tests that have to be done to really say that the reason for your dementia is Alzheimer's disease. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and go into it more. You know, what are these causes? And then, you know, we'll talk about some of these lifestyle changes. I think it's being looked at more and more, really, you know, in the healthcare community as a healthcare issue versus, and I'm just spitballing here, in my mind, it might have just been, you know, a nursing home issue, or it might have, you know, it didn't have its place, I think, where we take it seriously enough to look into some research and come up with new ideas to treat this.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It has been the last 10 years or so that the federal government has put a lot more money into research into Alzheimer's disease, and it seems like they're going to continue to do that because they've recognized that it's a big problem. But yeah, so the underlying biology of Alzheimer's disease, it's simultaneously simple but also complex. So what we know is that people with Alzheimer's disease have these two specific changes in their brain. They have something called plaques, which are these clumps of proteins between the neurons that disrupt signaling. And then they also have something called tangles. And these are kind of twisted proteins of something called tau that form inside your brain cells and disrupt them, cause them to not function properly. And so both of those things together are required for somebody to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And so we know that they contribute to the disease, but what's so fascinating about Alzheimer's disease and the reason that it's eluded us for this long is that you have increases in plaques and tau tangles as you age in general. And there are plenty of people that are older that have these changes in their brain that don't have Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. So we're really still trying to understand what's the level, but also what are these other factors? And it's becoming very clear that there are other factors outside of the brain that are contributing to the actual disease beyond these proteins that we see.
Let's go into that. What are some of those other factors?
Sure. So we know that individuals that have inflammation, for example. So if you have an immune system that's overactive, we know that that might accelerate or contribute to the damage. And that's what I study. I'm an immunologist. We know that the heart is, what's good for the heart is good for the brain. And so we have all of these risk factors now for dementia that are outside of the brain. And that, I just have to tell you, you know, I'm a scientist. I'm in the lab. I study immune cells and how we could use them to help with brain diseases. But after the Alzheimer's Association conference in July, the last session ended, and I was walking around in Toronto thinking, oh my gosh, this is powerful. And that's because in the last session, there was a plenary talk on risk factors for dementia that said that 45% of dementia cases may be preventable by addressing these early, mid, and late life risk factors that are really addressable. And we can go into what those are, and that's kind of what leads into these behavioral lifestyle changes that you alluded to. But I walked around and I said, this is it. We got to get the population to know about this. I came back to the Institute and I was so fired up about it.
and Melanie as well, because as I said, we were chatting earlier this week in setting this up, and was very excited. And so I'll have you talk about this, Tiffany, here in a little bit. But Melanie, go into it. When you learned that there are lifestyle changes, that 45% of dementia cases worldwide could be preventable. We'll have Dr. Hensley McBain talk about that. But from your perspective, as executive director of the Alzheimer's Association Montana's chapter, that had to be just, I don't know, like a morning sunrise.
I called it a game changer.
Yeah.
It was the most exciting news to me because even personally, I come from a family where every female on my mom's side has developed dementia and either died with it or is still living with it. And so for me personally, it was a huge aha moment of, I don't have to just sit back and accept that this is part of my family's genealogy, although they play a little bit into it. And Tiffany might speak to that just briefly, but there are things that I can do. And the more that I do now, because one thing, and Tiffany might refer to this too, but we know now that some of these changes are taking place in the brain 20 years before we ever see symptoms. Mm. And so everything that I do today could be prolonging my brain health 20 years from now. So by maintaining that active lifestyle, managing my cholesterol, managing my blood pressure, people who have diabetes, making sure that they're managing that, getting sleep, challenging our brain, all those things that we know are good for lifestyle can actually reduce my chances of developing dementia or delay the onset so that I might get it much later. And right now, too, with people that do develop dementia, they often spend most of the disease in the late stages, which is the hardest stage and the most financially burdensome stage. But with some of these lifestyle interventions, or actually all of them, if somebody's really proactive, they could stay in the earlier stages of the disease, which means they could still live independently and live fairly well with just some memory aids and people helping them out here and there, and live in that stage much longer because they're slowing the progression. The statistics and the odds through lifestyle right now are much greater than any treatment that we have approved through the FDA. And they're making improvements on those every day. But to me, lifestyle makes total sense. It's accessible. I can tell people in Eastern Montana, you don't have to be near a big hospital or near a big lab or, a center like that. You can start doing things tomorrow that will help with your brain health. And to me, that's so exciting and so positive, especially for Montanans.
We are tackling Alzheimer's and dementia, and more so in the way of just understanding new developments in it. A lot of things out there about how lifestyle changes can actually kind of hold off. And why does it matter? Montana has the fastest aging population, one of the fastest in the nation. And also, it affects everybody. There's roughly 40,000 caregivers in Montana. They're unpaid. That's you, right? And that's 57 million hours of unpaid labor each year. I know you do it for your family and you do it for love. And today, Melanie Williams and Dr. Tiffany Hensley McBain are hoping to help you do it better. Thank you to both for being here. Melanie Williams, as I mentioned, Executive Director of the Alzheimer's Association for Montana's chapter, ALZ.org. And then Dr. Tiffany Hensley McBain, she's Director of the Wiseman Hood Institute, formerly the McLaughlin Research Institute, McLaughlinResearch.org still, for information on that, but also Associate Dean of Research at the Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine, based in Montana here too. So we'll fold that in. I'm really curious about that. But Dr. Hensley McBain, again, it's time for another download. As we left, we were talking about the hope in prevention in lifestyle changes. And that's probably the most encouraging news, I think, at a layman's level for Alzheimer's and dementia that I've heard in a while.
Yes, absolutely. As we were saying before the break, I was at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference, heard about, you know, these risk factors that up to 45% of dementia cases may be preventable. And then, you know, we absolutely have to talk about the Pointer study, which was presented at the Alzheimer's Association conference. It was run by the Alzheimer's Association and key scientists and collaborators across the country. And that study had a whole session, and it was the results were the first time anyone had heard the results. And it was a lifestyle intervention study at five sites across the U.S. They enrolled 2,000 individuals aged 60 to 79, and they basically gave them counseling on diet. They gave them an exercise plan. They gave them cognitive exercise, cognitive exercises that they could do on the computer, and it improved their cognition over the two-year period. So it was super exciting. And when we, you know, these changes that are showing, or these lifestyle interventions and the things that you can do in your life that are preventing dementia, are things that are available to you. You know, I love the diet that they used. It's not cutting out a bunch of stuff. It's adding in, you know, certain things, leafy vegetables, berries, whole grains, unsaturated fats. And then the cognitive exercise that they did was using something called Brain HQ, which is a computer-based program, and it's actually was developed by someone that we collaborate with here at the Institute. So that is available. And then, you know, this exercise, there's been several studies now on exercise. And, you know, the regimen, sometimes in science, we want to do it perfectly to see if we can get a result. And that's good, because then we kind of know where to start. But there's been other studies, too, that show if you just increase your walking by 10%, there was another study presented at AAIC, 10% more walking, and those people ended up having better cognition over a 10-year period.
Wow.
That's super powerful. So these lifestyle interventions are huge, and I was also very excited, and Melanie, maybe you can speak to this, that Maria Creo, who's the head of science at the Alzheimer's Association, put out a commentary immediately after the data was published that said, all right, now we got to get to work. Now we know what works, but we have to figure out how to do it. And that's super important for places like Montana, where, you know, what exactly works perfectly in these big cities might not work so well here. So how do we do it? How? Let's figure that out.
Melanie, got it figured out yet?
Working on it every day.
Yeah.
That is a huge piece. Like Tiffany said, research gives us so much information. But then how do we put that into practice? So that's where we're at right now. We work with public health through a grant called the BOLD grant, which stands for Building Our Largest Dementia Infrastructure in Montana, and working with public health to try to figure out the best way to get this information out to people. But we know that's not enough. People also need support. They also need to know how to do it, why it's important. We can inundate somebody with education and information, but it's more than that. It's really bringing it to fruition, making it a reality for people, and making it practical. As Tiffany said, it's not about maybe completely upending your life, but what are some changes that you can start making, small changes, and then just keep adding to those. And that will actually, they found that it reversed aging in some people. They improved cognition by 1 to 2 years. So they were performing the same as somebody 1 to 2 years younger than them by the end of this study.
Yeah. I mean, that's so very encouraging and a little bit surprising as well. Let's talk more about this from a practical standpoint, Tiffany. I understand that there's Alzheimer's clinical trials going on. Montana's not been a part necessarily of some of those. So fold that in here. But the fact that it's things that we can do, that seems like like Melanie said, is a game changer. How do we make that different from you can lose weight. You can be a better person. Well, you can do these things and you know, you'll be more successful in your job. You know, it's we get so many how-to and kind of books out there. How do we make this one real for us in our lives?
Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head there. The implementation requires more research, and that's really where we're at. So as you said, there's last I looked on clinicaltrials.gov, 400 about clinical trials for Alzheimer's disease, and zero are enrolling in our state. So we've been working really hard at the Institute the last 4 years to change that. And so we're you know, we're planning on piloting lifestyle interventions here in a real world outpatient way, where and not even outpatient, but maybe community center based. Like, what are the boots on the ground that are already integrated into our rural communities, and how can we get them the information so that then they help the people that are in their communities? And I think, again, the Alzheimer's Association has said they're going to have a lot of funding available for planning grants and those sorts of things. So we're really excited to jump into that. But we need to lead some of these smaller trials here on how it works in our population in a real world setting, and really kind of bridge that gap on research for Montanans being included. And, you know, we study a lot of diseases at the Institute that impact Montanans. We have our Center of Integrated Biomedical and Rural Health Research here, which is an NIH-funded center of excellence. And we study diabetes, age-related macular degeneration. We study all of these conditions that impact our state, and we're just on the precipice of getting research out there available to people to enroll in, to be part of, and they've been so far really excited to do that. Good. So I'm looking forward to it.
Good. That helps. Associate Dean of Research at the Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine as well, Dr. Tiffany Hensley McBain. I got like now 2.5 minutes here, and I wanted to save a comment because we're talking about there's approximately 22,000 Montanans currently living with Alzheimer's, but there are 40,000 caregivers now providing care. And so, Melanie, we're speaking mostly to those caregivers, well, loudly anyway, to these caregivers. Give us a sense of how much help they need, of where they're at with this disease and their loved ones.
Yeah, caregiving for somebody with dementia is known to be one of the hardest forms of caregiving. In fact, if you look at the statistics, looking at the number of people in Montana living with dementia compared to the number of caregivers, it's almost 2 to 1. It takes a lot to care for somebody with dementia. So what we find is that the caregiver's health starts to decline because they don't have time to take care of their own needs. It's very stressful. It can become a huge financial burden. And so the task is real. It's very, very hard on the caregiver. They need support. I think disease education is one of the best things that we can bring them, so they understand what's happening with their loved one and can better navigate that road rather than trying to fight against it or trying to fix it. I know I was stuck in that stage of trying to fix my mom for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So that's very, very important. But I also recently talked to our health systems director, and we talked about that paradigm shift of saying, okay, let's stop what we've just come to accept in some of our families, that Alzheimer's or dementia is just a part of it. Let's stop that thinking and start thinking about what can I be doing today to change that so that my family isn't living with this year after year after year. And so talking with children of people who have dementia, and what can they do so that their kids don't have to play this record over and over again, and getting to them earlier. In fact,
Melanie,
some of our bold work.
I'll run out of time here. I want to make sure I give your website, alz.org, for more information. That's Melanie Williams, Executive Director of the Montana Chapter of Alzheimer's Association. And Dr. Tiffany Hensley McBain, McLaughlinResearch.org, now the Wiseman Hood Institute. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.